Just like when you walk into a church, you know, you see bookshop, coffee shop, all kinds of little doodads, Christian gadgetry, and knickknacks. You know, they got them for sale in many of these modern, you know, new type churches that are basically like a, I don't know what you would call it. It's like a, they got a cafe, they got this, they got that. They, you know, it's all meant to appeal to us on carnal levels. What a nice place to just be. What's wrong with that? I mean, Jesus throwing over all this stuff. This is stuff that's approved. This isn't considered controversial. Look it. You come into the temple, you've got heathenish money. You've got coins with Caesar's image on it. You need to change those coins for holy coins. Because how can you give coins to the temple if they are in Roman denominations? That's why they had money changers. You've got Roman coins, we'll give you Jewish coins. And you can, you know, temple shekels. You can donate that way. And you've come a long way. And you couldn't bring your own animal for sacrifice. Well, we have animals for sacrifice here. You can purchase. What's wrong? They justified it in their minds. They said, well, when a man leaves, I mean, he could sell his ox that he's going to sacrifice. And then he could just take the money with him and then buy another one. It's the simplest economic transaction. And while I think that would be somewhat technically allowable, it probably was all technically allowable, but they were doing it all right in the temple. It's not like they went down to the cattle market. No. It was for you walk into the temple with nothing and pick up a sacrifice, change your money. You know, if this was a Christian temple, there'd be testaments and all kinds of other little bookmarks and doodads and doohickeys and all this junk making merchandise of you. In the temple, they're making merchandise. They're making it a den of thieves. This is a composite quotation from, let's see, my house should be called a house of all nations, a house of prayer. That's Isaiah 56, verse 7. The sons of the stranger that join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taketh hold of my covenant. Even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for mine house shall be called an house of prayer for all people. Even in the Old Testament, God accepted people of other nations who would adhere to the covenant. The difference being is they had to become like the Jews. They had to follow the law, follow the covenant, under that covenant. Under the new covenant, made in the blood of Christ and not in the blood of animals, we come in without having to do the blood ordinances that the Jews followed, without having to do everything according to the way they did it, their holidays and all that. But we come in according to the New Testament teaching and the liberty that is in Christ. And I covered a lot of that. The details of that are covered in my studies through Romans, Colossians, Corinthians, Philippians, Ephesians, Galatians, Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews. Covered that. And the den of thieves references Jeremiah chapter 7. I believe it's verse 11, which says, this house which is called by my name, is this house which is called by my name become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. And what he says is, will you steal, in verse 9 he had said, will you steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense to Baal, and walk after other gods whom you know not, and come and stand before me in this house which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. We don't want to have that kind of fatalism. It's all, we are delivered to do these abominations. It's just the will of God. We're sinners, and that's just the way it is, and we are come to serve God and we come to serve sin. We do both at the same time because that's how we're delivered. to have in the one man two contradictory natures operating at the same time. The house of God cannot be a house of prayer and the house of thieves. A man of God cannot be a man of God and a thief. A man of God cannot be a man of God and a man of sin. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve righteousness and sin. We cannot have bitter and sweet water flowing out of the same fountain. Oh, it can be for a time. But the water is bitter. Well, it's not as bitter as pure bitter, true. But even so, a little poison over a long time still proved deadly. And of course, in all these things he's saying, he's being critical of the established religious order. The scribes and chief priests, how can we destroy him? How can we put a stop to this? This can't be done. You know, and to me, it's the things done in church today are the same things. It's just the whole thing is a bunch of robbery. They feed not the flock of God, and then they rob him blind. They rob him and they take money for not performing duties that they ought to have performed. They don't instruct the people of God in God's faith and the trust required. And by that I mean that they trust in the things they ought to trust in for their salvation. That is, specifically, that Christ would deliver them from their sins and their iniquities. That their iniquities and sins would be no more. It's really not emphasized very much. It's emphasized in the New Testament, I'll tell you that. It's not emphasized in church. In church, they emphasize, I sin, you sin, we all sin. You're going to sin. Don't get your expectations too high because you're going to be disappointed. And more devilish words have never been spoken. Because in spite of any disappointment or setback, we should never give up. We should never stop pursuing righteousness. Because God has promised it. God has promised it. Just because, you know, the children of Israel set off on a journey for the promised land, and they didn't reach the promised land on the first day, should they have stopped their journey there and said, we'll never reach the promised land because we didn't reach it today? And people were astonished at his doctrine because he was really speaking against things that were accepted. And they're like, wow, this is all evil, you're saying? This is not okay? Is that what you're saying? The chief priests and scribes looking at, you know, how the people had received him. Hosanna, Hosanna, people following him. And then he comes into the temple and starts throwing people out. He won't let anyone carry anything around. All the commerce, all the coming and going he put a stop to. And then people are listening to him and he's like, oh, this can't go on.